it says that you have an issur shemitah, but then it says like the land should not be cut. Why doesn't it say like usually normally it would say like you should not cut the land? Because why is it making in the why is it not making like a personal issur? I don't know what the pasuk is.
Why is it
referred to the land? Why is it to the land, not to the gavra?
Has been established at Bethlehem Yilaris?
Yeah.
Shabbos, Lashem, so called Lo Sufra. Doesn't that say you should not?
Yeah, but then, like, then it, later on, where is it?
You should not cut your field, that's how it's saying it. Your field, you should not cut.
No, no, no. Again,
I just read it from the
Dan's question was like later on. It says like, hold on, let me look for it. It's a person on the land, not to anybody else. That's to the person. Maybe he was wrong.
I don't understand the question.
All right.
Well, if you're wrong, you know, if it's stated, you should not work. It doesn't enter on the gavra. It doesn't came in the land.
Okay.
The whole idea of Shmita, it's pretty much the same idea that pertains to Shabbos. And that it's, you're desisting from work, just like you desist on Shabbos from work. But here it's more specific. It's something we decide in the land.
Kind of a way.
that whereas in any other situation, a person associates the effects, the outcomes, with the amount of energies that he puts into it and his talents, and it's him that's doing it, even though it's not really true, of course, no matter how good you are, there's an extraneous factor. But in Eretz Yisrael, it has to be done in a manner which clearly demonstrates the recognition that the success over there is two-dimensional. It has to, of course, part of you, it's one-dimensional in the sense that it's purely a service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the service of God always involves two things. We shouldn't imagine that when we're confronting the actual, the practical challenges and responsibilities, that's part of the service of God. Because that's the will of God, that God set up the situation. That there's no conflict between our recognition of God and to the contrary, the world of cause and effect is a result of God's will. And you can't avoid that. Judaism is not a religion which says to escape from the world and just pray to God. That's an absurdity. That's part of the challenge, to deal with the actual conflicts of the world. However, it's with a certain attitude and within a certain context that you're doing that as part of your service of God. And that, therefore, that changes the entire character of how you work the land, how you develop the economy, and so on and so forth. Here, it has to be done as a means to an end, specifically for the sake of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the key element which will bring everything to fruition. The fact that you're doing all the things you're supposed to do, you can't escape from that. But you're doing it not because you're pursuing the physical, not because you're gratifying your own ego, but you're doing it as a means, because it's the will of God. That's part of the service of God. And then, in the course of that, all of your efforts will be successful. So that's the idea of Shemitah. Shemitah is you actually demonstrate that by persisting. And of course there's the idea of chesed, that it's not yours and it's open to the to the poor and so on and so forth. That's all part of the same idea. Okay, I mean, that's just a brief summation of general ideas. Yeah. All right, any specific questions? Both. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, any further specific questions?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah, I got something.
1 minute.
All right.
There's something from yesterday, maybe he said.
There's a lot of times, like different I mean, not just Bechukosai, but like in a lot of places where there's an expression in the pasuk of like Ufanisi, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to leave his other actions and he's going to just be Osek in this one thing, right?
Give me the specific.
Okay, it's in the parsha where he says
Bechukosai right before Shani.
Yeah, in the beginning of Bechukosai, where he says like if you keep my mitzvos, so I'm going to leave all of my other actions like to make the land successful, right? And but he says it also other places in Torah. He says, if you're Oved Avodah Zarah, I'm going to leave all of my other actions and I'm just going to be Osek in like destroying you. So.
I just thought we'd like to take a look at it, if you don't mind.
Yeah. It's in the beginning of Bechukosai.
Just give me the specific.
Perek Chavav, Pasuk Tes.
Chavav.
Pasuk Tes.
Okay. Ufanisi Aleichem. That's the one you're talking about?
Yeah. The Rashi.
Ufanisi Chalitzkeit, Meshalim Chalchem. We're talking about the positive.
What's your question?
No, you weren't talking about the negative.
It appears in positive and negative context. That happens to be a positive one.
You had a marshal that's brought down? He doesn't have a full marshal here, Rashi.
Yeah, no
second. So if you're going to pursue it right here and they give you a marshal, it's not a very helpful. Do you have the whole marshal?
I'm looking at it now. Can we compare it to? It's a terrace farm, by the way. And,
yeah, I know, but slow down when you say, and please speak distinctly, because I told you it's hard to hear all the time.
It's a terrace kohanim, and it's a perek beis halacha, perek beis...
Okay, I'm going to put Mishamot in front of me. All
right, so what can this matter be compared to? To a king who hired many workers. There was one worker there who had worked for a long time. The workers went to collect their wages. And
I have over here, excuse me, I have the same thing, but with the exception of one, Shavuot Lo Bemuna.
Oh, he worked faithfully,
you
huh?
You have that there?
No, I have that he worked for a long time. And he says faithfully? Okay.
Yeah, well, it makes sense faithfully, because what would a long time mean? But all right, same idea.
The workers went to collect their wages,
right?
And this worker went with them. The king said to that worker, "My son, I turn to you. These other workers work little for me, and I pay them little. But I have a substantial account to settle with you. So too, Bnei Yisrael in this world request their reward from God. And the other nations of the world request their reward from God. God says to Israel, my son, I will turn to deal with you. These other nations of the world work little for me, and I pay them little. But I have a substantial account to settle with you." This is why it says, Ifanisi.
Okay, so what's your question?
The question is that...
It's a nice idea. Makes sense. What's the problem?
The expression of Ifanisi, it's not just here, but it's many places, in good and bad, that he's going
to... I thought you had a good kasha, because... according to this mashal, the explanation, it has to do with paying workers. You know, you have two kinds of workers. But you're saying, let me see another, I just want to make sure before we go off. Where's the contrary case where it's for negative?
I can't remember it now, but it's
Are you sure? I hate to start doing this.
I know, but there are cases of where they're of the Avodah Zarah, and he says, he has that expression also. He says, I'm going to... I have to look around. I think it's in Shmos, though.
In Shmos?
I really have to look around. One second. You know what? I have to pick up a concordancia for a second, okay?
Yeah.
So,
I just want to tie up a loose end here. We could deal with it. If you can't find it, we could still deal with this Rashi.
Well, my question though is what kind of an expression is that? Because it's basically the way the Maisei Hashem is. What does it mean? He's going to just do. In other words, what is it saying? He's going to just do this. What does that mean? Ufanisi. It shouldn't make a difference. In other words, that's not an expression that means anything in God, in terms of God. Ufanisi. And also, he's not.
Oh, that's not a problem, because there were all these expressions that God uses. This is not the only one.
It relates to the humans.
So what is
all
he not doing?
No, I understand what your question.
What is he not doing, then?
I just want to get clear. All the expressions are anthropomorphical. Obviously, God is not the turning.
Right.
But it implies a certain...
That he's withdrawing from something.
A certain result.
Or that he's withdrawing from something.
Withdrawing?
Because, he said he's going to... Funisi means he's going to leave his other business and just do this.
Right.
What's he withdrawing from?
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah, that would seem to be inappropriate.
He didn't leave anything.
Because the implication... Oh, I see what you're saying. There's a few problems over here. Yeah, I guess it's correct. One of the things I think used to bother you also is that what is the idea... all we need to know, for example... In general, when God talks about the blessings, so the idea is that if we merit it, and that's all the blessings in Bukhukotai, the Nasati Shalom Ba'aretz, and all these other things. So, that's the idea of the Ashkacha, that if we merit it, then we'll get a tremendous blessing from God. But the idea of saying that I'll turn away from my other things and I'll turn to you, that seems to be completely superfluous, and what's the meaning behind that? It can't be applied to God. That's a human phenomenon. In our context, we have the idea that, because we have many things to do, and we cannot be involved in, you know, two things or whatever at the same time. So that's fine. That makes sense as a human expression. That if something is extremely important, you know, like you'll tell somebody it's important to you, or you'll tell your own child, whatever. Whenever you need me, I'll just put everything aside and deal with you. Yeah, that's fine. But that should not be necessary when it comes to God. Because if you want to convey the idea that you'll get this great reward, which is what the Torah Kohanim seems to be saying, is what it's talking about, but you don't need to make that point. There's no need to make the point that God's going to turn away from his other iskim.
But also, doesn't he say...
Excuse me. That's completely unnecessary over here. Now, we accept the idea, the utilization of anthropomorphic expressions, because they were terrible Lashon B'nai Adam, but then we translate it. And we say, it doesn't mean God is doing something, we mean that there's a certain result that's going to affect us, which has to do with the rule of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Torah is depicting it as though we're a king. But the anthropomorphisms must make sense. And therefore, Yosef's question is correct. And as I said, this bothers me myself, is that what do we gain? The main idea of the pasuk is that because of what we are doing, we will be rewarded, or because of what we're doing, we'll be punished severely, seriously, whatever you want to say. But to make that point, what do you have to convey? A certain idea of turning away from other things. That has no significance, because in terms of God, it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, you know, it has no meaning. What is the point? The point that it's going to be quickly, as though you were turning away, that doesn't seem to be what, you know, to me it's not a very satisfying explanation.
That the whole world only continues to exist every second because God wills it to continue to exist.
Right, we know that.
So the whole so there's no such thing as a removal.
Now you're going to go into something completely different. What does that do with this?
Because that means that he can't remove his will.
No, but that says no. No, to the contrary. Calling the Kohanim, to the contrary, implies that God's involved with everything that's going on. That's fully in line with what the Rambam says.
But when he's Kohanim, he's not involved with everything that's going on.
No, please.
Why not?
Because you're making a huge leap. That's not a good question.
Okay, why not?
Excuse me. The will of God is what the Rambam is talking about. The will of God over there refers specifically to the existence of the world. That's a very important point, but as a separate point, and that is that the Rambam lays down in Yesodei HaTorah that not only is God responsible for the existence of the world, but he's trying to make the point that the only real existence is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything else derives its existence only from him, because of him, because of his will. Now the second point is that you might think that once God brought it into existence, so now it partakes of existence and can partake of existence outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it gives the famous mashal over there, that the relationship is such that if we could imagine, obviously this could not happen, this could happen, if we could imagine that everything else that existed besides him would cease to exist, I mean, each point is making, you know, significant, then he alone, blessed be he, would continue to exist, and he would not be diminished in any way by the lack of existence of the other thing. That's a very important point, because there are many people that believe this is a major mistake in philosophy, even of those who do recognize the existence of the Creator, or they want to say the first cause, whatever it is, but they can't understand why God created the world, so therefore they posit all kinds of dependencies, so to speak, or that the world emanates from God, and that the world is necessary to God. Well, this is all Kfira, by the way. This is all Avodah Zarah, to say that God in any way, shape, or form is dependent upon the creation. That's why you have these absurd ideas. Even in among Jewish so-called theologians, you know, like God is lonely, all that nonsense. That's a plural. Or that God in search of man, that somehow or other God needs our prayers or our good deeds. All of that is absolute fear. So the Rambam is making the point that we should not imagine, because this would be a human projection. Generally speaking, whatever a person creates, everything that we do, everything that we fashion, everything that we bring into existence, we do so because at one level or another we have a need for it. And there's nothing that a person does, because everything that we do in our own context is got a selfish element to it. It's selfish at bottom. And I've explained this many times. No matter how philanthropic the activity appears to be, or no matter how self-sacrificing, even to give up your life for anyone, for your own child, whatever the case is at bottom a selfish thing. I'm not going to go into that. You can pursue that some other time. I've explained it many times. Because essentially, it's satisfying a certain need that you have. Now, therefore, there's a danger that a person might make the same mistake with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And you see, the Rambam addressed this. Because God created the world, so why did he need the world? And God created us, and God commanded us to praise him, and so on and so forth. So all of these things, taken superficially and approached on the basis of human projection, would lead a person, or could lead a person, to the idea that, well, there's some kind of need over there. That's why the Rambam is making the point that God does not need anything that he created. And we don't know. We can't answer any kind of a question as to the why of God created. That's what the Rambam says in the Mara. Other than that, all we can say is that his will or his wisdom, which is identical to his will, because God is not divided into parts, is infinite. His infinite, just like we can't know the nature of God, and the nature of God, as we said, is not divisible. So therefore, we can't understand why. But it was determined. His infinite wisdom determined that there should be a world. That's as far as we can get. So we can't satisfy that why factor. But he's making the point that God has no need for anything. Therefore, if everything would cease to exist, he would not be in any way diminished. That's a very, very important point. To remove that element of falsification. That somehow, in some way, shape, or form, we are important to God. The only importance we have is that the will of God has established a place for us, has given validity to our existence. That's the importance. Other than that, a person removes that, then there is no importance. Now, the other point that he makes is more relevant over here, the one that Yosef is raising, in that he says that if you can imagine, obviously it can't happen, but if you can imagine that he would cease to exist, the Rambam does use that expression, then everything outside of him would automatically cease to exist. Okay? Which means to say we're not saying that it wouldn't have come into existence, obviously. He's not making that point. Meaning, even though God has created and given existence to the universe and to everything that exists within it, but he means to say that if one could imagine that he would cease to exist, then everything would automatically cease to exist, which means that our existence is dependent existence. And it's only because the will of God relates to our existence. Now, what he means over there is not what's being talking about over here. It means to say that the existence of the universe, the forces of nature, creation, everything which was brought into creation, and the functioning of the natural order, continues to exist only as long as the will of God relates to it. And of course, that's illustrated by the story of the marvel. When God decided that it had no purpose, he was going to destroy it. He would destroy it. But that only means that does not necessarily have anything to do with a specific hashkacha. That's talking about hashkacha klolos. That is a hashkacha klolos. That you can't have the existence of the universe without the will of God relating to it. Because the will of God is a permanent feature, so to speak, because it has no basis for existence in and of itself. But in terms of what you're talking about, that there's a whole system of Chav Yamesh and God's providential relationship and directing the course of history and so on and so forth, that's a completely different dimension, which the Rambam is not talking about over there. That's something that we know about That is something that we know about only through the Torah. That's, you know, that too is debated. I mean, we don't debate it because we have the Torah, but it's a legitimate, it seems to me, a legitimate philosophical position if you don't have the Torah. For philosophers that would not know about the Torah, who did accept the fact that this universe has to have a creator and accepted the idea of creation, but, you know, like Einstein, for example, whether it's the will of the creator to just leave mankind to its own devices and to use their intelligence to work things out, or whether God actually intervenes in a providential manner, that could be debated philosophically. For us, it's not a debate because we have the Torah. So therefore, if you're going to make that connection, you know, say, if I don't agree with it, that somehow or other, Ufanisi, you call this guy, right, implies a contradiction of what the Rambam is saying, I don't think it's true. Do you agree or what?
Yeah, I see that.
Okay.
I found the source that where Ufanisi is being used for a negative.
Okay, let me just see it. Where is it? Is it in Vayikra?
No, yeah, it's in Achrimos.
Achrimos? Give me the specifics.
It's Perek Yud Zion, Pasuk Yud. Tell me when you're there, okay?
Perek Yud Zion what?
Pasuk Yud.
Asher Yechel Kol Dam, V'Nasati Tonei B'Nefesh Ha'Ochelot, Asher Dam.
Yeah.
So Rashi says, Tonei Sheli, Tonei Ani Mikaluskei V'Osek Bo. Yeah. Interesting, is there a mushal on that one? How come there's no mushal on that one? Okay, yes you can.
But that's for negative, in other words, he's going to punish him.
I know, but I agree with you. But then one can ask the question, why do they fit? Why is it? This is a side question, and Mark, make a note of it, please, whoever's taking notes. That why is it, in the case of the positive, it was deemed necessary to provide a mushal to explain it? Whereas in the case of the negative, at least in this case, I mean, there may be more cases, you have to make a study of this, of other cases where this expression is used, but it wasn't deemed necessary, or was it? I mean, it could be that in another case it is, but here we don't see the mushal. I think there are other cases where the same expression is used, and perhaps with regard to Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, but can you ask that kind of question?
I cannot hear you.
Can you ask that kind of a question?
I'm sorry, it's not your fault this time. There's the lawn, you know, the guy's doing the lawn outside.
Oh.
If you could just be a little bit louder.
Can you really ask that kind of a question? Maybe
right.
The mushal is meant to be on all of the Rashis.
No. Why don't you use a mushal for the negative? You mean just take this, what's the negative here? You don't have the unless you tell me that the mushal for the positive...
Yeah, maybe it's the same mushal.
Well, it's translated. What would be the negative? You have a bunch of workers.
Right.
In the positive case, you had workers. All of them demand some kind of car. Right?
Right.
And this guy stands out. So what's the mushal of the negative?
He's a bad worker.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I have to think about it. Whatever. I'm not entirely convinced. But even so, if that were the case, they'd point you. You had to point out to the marshal. Well, you could point that to the marshal over here and say, and he could point to that same marshal, and then sort of indicate, just reverse it. Okay. All right, so I'll accept the question. I think it's a good question. It's actually something which bothered me. And now that you brought it up, maybe we'll spend a few minutes on it. Now, first of all, let's make it, whoever is this, you know, I don't know how many souls are there, but let's make sure that everybody's got the question. Everybody sees the question, you know, or accepts the question, whatever, that's the first thing. The first order of business is to make sure that everybody understands the question. Yeah. Can you respond to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll explain. When I ask the question, my guy, he can have the answer. Okay, so that's the question. So let's say, what do you guys think? How did you explain this? I think it's important because if somebody that's a bit sophisticated and sees this, you know, and asks the question, well, the implication over here is that God turns us away.
somebody's involved in. I mean, that's really anthropomorphic, and it would seem unnecessary. Because, again, I'm adding to this point that in other cases where God promises us a reward, you don't have this expression. Like in all the brachos, v'natati shalom v'aretz, you know, all the things I'll do to you and so on and so forth, it does not utilize this type of a metaphor. So just to communicate the idea that God will reward us for this, you don't need the idea of removing from the other thing. Just say that God will reward us for it.
It's interesting that it mentions this, Ufanisa Elohim, after. Look at the sequence. First it mentions many things, in terms of the... the prosperity. Take a look at the order of blessings here. Yishmeichem b'itam. Interesting on B'itam in their time. See the Rashi there, and Dalit, B'shar she'ein derech b'nei adam lotei, k'gam b'leilei shabbatos. That is, on the leilei shabbatos. Interesting Rashi. Now that's not the plain shot, obviously. G'shmeichem b'itam means in the appropriate time when it's good for the crop, as opposed to at a bad time when it would hurt the crop. So Rashi takes it to apply to something which is a totally different idea. That's a completely different idea. I tell you that I'll give you rains in its times, so you mean in its seasons. In its seasons is the correct, like, you know, when we say the same time of Levracha, you know, you don't do a certain time of the year, you don't say it because it's Bekwala, you know. So obviously there's the appropriate seasons. That seems to be the plain shot. Yet Rashi says that the Eitan, he takes it to something which I guess most people would regard as being rather trivial, because in the big picture, people who are like farmers, whatever, people who depend upon rain, and even now in New York there's like a drought and they're concerned about the reservoirs, so most people are concerned with the big picture, whether there'll be rain or not. And the particularities as to what time of the day, whether it'll be convenient for me, that seems to be pretty petty. Yet here Rashi is making that point. How'd you do with that, Rashi? I think if he asked anybody, just read the plain shot, anybody with slight familiarity with the text would say that's what it's talking about. The Eitan one is good for the crop. What led Rashi to this? It's not where the pasuk, sometimes the pasuk itself is difficult. It sort of cries out for an interpretation because its word is this, superfluous words, etc. No thoughts? All right.
I'm
sure think of it if I gave you time. I'm not going to give you time.
It could be, Rebbe?
Yeah.
Maybe, Fanisi, it could be understood that...
I'm not doing the Fanisi yet. Did you just hear what I was doing?
Yeah.
I'm working my way there. I just asked a different question on the way to the big question.
Yeah.
It's nice to get a little point on the board, so to speak.
All right.
Let's, you know, if you have an answer, wait, your turn. Does anybody have an answer to the question I just posed?
No.
All right, I would say it's followed. It's a small point. I'm not making, you know, this is not the main point. But now that we mention it, it's, you know, so it's nice to get an additional point. Seems to me that, of course, that Rashi may agrees that's the plain shot. But there's an additional idea. Because, v'nasati gishmeichem, beita. In a sense, it's superfluous because the context is that it's a bracha. That's clear from the context. That God is rewarding us because we're keeping the mitzvot. So therefore, she is in a Zadik Ishmesham. Maybe from a literary standpoint it wouldn't flow, but the fact is that God will give us the rain. So of course, it's the bracha, you know it's going to be in its season. Because what's the alternative? That God's going to give the rains and not in its season? That's not a bracha. So that's, now, of course, you'll say, yes, the etam on a plain shot means in its appropriate time. In the most appropriate time. But Rashi over here is adding that to the extent of the ashkacha, the extent of the ashkacha, you would say, look, it's sufficient if no one's going to complain when the rains come if we have great crops. You see? But if you understand the reason behind it, that God is giving us all of this, and not because of materialism, but the real idea of the bracha is, you see, understanding this Rashi really takes us into a deeper insight into the whole character of the ashkacha. And most people have a false idea when they read these parshiyos. It can be very misleading. It can lead you to the idea that the reason for keeping the Torah is so you'll get material rewards. That's all religion. That the good is really the material. Except, in order to get it, you have to be obedient. And if you're obedient, you'll get the good. That's a complete falsification. That's an important point, a very fundamental principle, just in terms of what the whole idea of the good is like. So therefore, if you understand the idea over here, that is to say, this Rashi is very crucial, in a very ordinary kind of a way, it's like a small little point over here, it would seem, Rashi made a very huge point, if you notice it. That the idea of the bracha is not that the material is the objective, but that because you're following in the ways of Torah, because you've decided to embrace the real good, so then God will see to it that all of the practical aspects of your life, the things that you need, that society needs in order to function smoothly, will be done, will be brought about in the most efficient, the most efficacious way. Why? So that you will be free of the burden, all of the burdens that come to us just with the territory, so to speak, of human existence and the need to face these challenges, all of them will be removed and you'll be blessed with tremendous abundance. But not because that's the good, because in order to fulfill your objective, your true objective on a higher plane, you'll have all the removal of the pains, plus you'll have all this wealth, which will be utilized properly. So if that's the case, that the objective over here is to enable you to further your goal, so then not only will you have a lot of rain, but this will be for a blessing, that it'll come about in a way which won't distract you. That is, even that degree of the providence, that when the rains come down, it won't cause you any suffering or anguish or whatever, because that'll distract you from being involved in Torah. So it comes out at a time on Friday night where everybody's home and learning at home, and then that's when it'll rain. That expresses what the whole idea is all about. You see? That the whole idea is to really make it easier for you and to remove the burden. So if the rain were to come down in a burdensome kind of a way, so that would not That would not express that idea. That would lead to a person that looks at it that way and says, look, I don't care when it rains, but we're going to have a tremendous crop, is because all he cares about is the crop. But over here, since the objective is to achieve a certain state of tranquility, so the ashkacha will express itself even in that regard as to when the rains come back. So this is a very important point. So that's expressed in the word be'itam. Flameshot be'itam, of course, is, as we said, at the appropriate time. But Rashi, or the Medrash, is based on the idea that really I can figure that out myself. Because if it's a bracha, it's got to be be'itam. So when the Torah says be'itam, it's to convey an additional idea, the specific. Okay, now let's get back to the main question. idea, yes, sir? You said you had an idea.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It means that it could be, I think, that really there are in the Ashgacha there could be more than one trend, meaning that the actual Ashgacha on a person or on could be determined by more than one thing. It could be he's part of a group who he's part of Klal Yisrael and they have a certain Ashgacha on them, but then he personally has a different Ashgacha on himself. And it could, the Ashgacha could come from one thing and not from another thing that he did. So it could be that when a person has something good happen to him or something negative, so there could be many reasons why. But Fonisi means, when he says, Pona mikol iskai, that I'll leave all my other dealings, which it means that he won't be affected by any other Ashgacha outside of this one. Meaning that there's going to be like a din on the guy in this world because of this thing alone. Regardless of what the other is chusin that the guy may have or the other...
Where do you see that in Paranikal Iskai? Where do you see that at all? And especially the mashal seems to be pitting one worker versus the other. So the Iskai over here is my other workers. I'll be pulling it from them and I'll just turn to you. So what does that imply? That you're gonna be affected by different factors in terms of your chusin? I don't see that. I mean, it's not true to the mashal. What do you think?
Yeah, it's true. I didn't think about the mashal.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I didn't think about the mashal.
Right. All right, anybody else? All right, give me a few seconds to think. Let me ask you another question, fellas. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, while you're on the subject, I started to make this point, then I got involved in Rashi, is that it's interesting that Ufanisi has comes at this particular point. That's another thing, I mean, you have to study. Because if Ufanisi Eskham is the appropriate expression by which God introduces the blessings to us, then it should have been at the beginning. Because it starts off without Ufanisi Eskham. I think that's, you know, a question. It starts off with Mechukos HaTeilechu, Vyas Mitzvah HaTishmah, Vyasishmah, etc. Then, V'nasati Gishmechem Be'itam V'nas Na'at Yivura Aviyetah for the Yitain Perio, V'yitzuk Ucham Da'ish Is Botir, Uvoti Yosek Ezra, Achotam Lachom Usova, Vishatam Uvetah Kwa Eitcham. Then it goes to Sholom. Vishu Shchaftami and Machris. Then Vishpati Chayorah. Then Rebaftam and Soybechem. Vidav Bechayah. Vidavachim and Kemchemishayorah. So, after it gives you all of these things, which are extremely significant, then Vidavu Fanishi Halechem. I think one can ask, you have to ask along these lines, this question, well, why are you coming here at this point? Whatever it means, the Fanishi, isn't this, everything that's happened to Tumah is not a Fanishi Halechem?
Also,
do you agree with the question, yes, sir?
Yeah.
Well, that's a necessary point in trying to answer. Yeah. Also, what?
The cases like where it's negative, where ufanisi is for punishment.
Yes.
It's kind of random. Which ones are ufanisi?
It's not.
It is random.
Well, let's put it this way: you're throwing in too much. That's a separate discussion. We haven't seen ufanisi. That's a different idea. Whether we can universalize the ufanisi, so to speak, and find out what the negatives. You know, here you have it. Let's just stick to this case, all right?
Yeah.
Well, let's be a little bit modest at this point. One step, if we can just get an idea of what ufanisi means, at least in this context, then you'll
don't
understand.
Don't be modest, Rebbe.
I can't tell you?
Don't be modest.
Modest?
Don't be modest.
No, that's a good idea to be modest. Once you open up a door a little bit, you know, then you go on from there. If you take on too much, you're going to make the problem too overwhelming. You can't deal with it. All right. Well, but I think the step that I took is legit because we're looking at it in the context. And in the context, it seems a little bit strange. But now, a test, Ufanisi Alechem, Ve'Breisi Yachem, Ve'Breisi Yachem, Vakimosi Yachbrisi Yachem. Which is interesting. What does it mean, Hakimosi Yachbrisi Yachem? Funny, Rashi says Brit Chadasha, Lokit Brit Harishana, Shehei Hefarta Osa. Rashi says it's a new Brit, not like the first one which you abrogated. Now the Brit Chadasha Shalot Tufar, it's a new one which will never be broken. Go into every particular now. It's very fascinating, the Ibn Ezra. But, let me toss out an idea. Hello?
Yeah.
It seems to me that the idea of ufanisi, I will turn away from my other iskim and deal exclusively with you. And in accordance with the mashal. Now, in a plain sense, obviously there's no meaning to that because God is not preoccupied. God's involvement in one thing, there's no such thing, we can't even talk this way, but I mean, God's involvement in one thing doesn't detract from another thing. God can be, whatever God wants to do in this universe is done, it doesn't take God time, and that kind of thing. So therefore we have to, for example, I'll give you a mashal, Mama Davidoma, you know, where it says in, this is something Raichet told me of in the name of the Rav, that it says in, you know, Bereshit Vayaro Kintitov, you know, after every unit of creation, it says that God saw that it was good. So, the Rav raised the question, well, of course, what does God have to, the impression is that God has to look it over to see if it's good. But God knows from the outset that it's good. God doesn't have to check his work, so to speak. That's a human phenomenon. We have an idea, but even though we have an idea, we recognize that our knowledge is very, very imperfect. God's knowledge is perfect. So we are constantly reviewing. So what's the point, he said? Now, his answer was that, of course, it was to teach us a lesson. Of course, God doesn't have to do that. But very often, God depicts himself as acting in a manner so we should learn from it. Like it says by some, Erdan of the era. Let me go down and see. Haksa kasa. Is that I'm going to go down and see whether the situation is as bad as it appears. So of course that's anthropomorphic. God doesn't have to go down and look. But Rashi says it's a mashal. God is depicting himself as doing this so that we should learn, that we shouldn't judge no matter how, the situation, how obvious the situation may appear, you know, you have to go down and see for yourself. You see it in the world today with all the tumult in the news, this is going on, the massacre, this and that, it's all nonsense. You have to go down and see. So there too, in the case of Bayar Kim Kitov, means that, of course, God doesn't do that, but God is depicting himself that way to teach us a lesson that we should never be complacent. We should never have such a reliance on the brilliance of our ideas, but we always have to be constantly reviewing and seeing whether it's working or not, and correcting it. That was his idea. Now, I would say, along a similar line over here, the idea of turning away from others and focusing only on this is to convey an idea. Obviously, God doesn't do that, but in the mashal too, it means that you have these different workers, and then you have the faithful worker. Over here, I have it not in the Sifrei Chachamim is bringing it down to Ben Muna. So very often you have a situation like that, and you know that's the way this life is. Establish my breath with you. You'll be Kofei HaShemayim and Kafar HaOretz. All of the different characteristics that are inherent in the potential of the Jewish people will now become manifest to the world, and there it will be Mucha Chamelta, like that worker who was Neman. All these years he was Neman, but he wasn't recognized. Now I'm going to make a differentiation. So the Ashkacha will not just be the first level of the Ashkacha is purely for your benefit, because you follow my way, and therefore I'll give you what you need, and you'll be able to partake of the good. The second level will be in terms of the world at large, that the Hashkacha will manifest it in such a way, a ponem mikoliska, that will show that you're different, that you're unique, and the reason why you're experiencing all this is because the bris that exists between me and you. That's my interpretation. I think it fits in with the mashal. What do you guys think?
How is he showing that?
I'm sorry?
How is God showing that?
That's not your question. That's not the question. It's not that hard to answer. But that wasn't what your question was. Your question is what significance, what is the meaning of the term of Panisi? Now, I told you what I think the meaning is. How it will be, it's not such a big problem. The fact that a nation begins when a nation is experiencing all these things. Okay? So it can be for many reasons. Other nations have experienced prosperity and victory and so forth. Then they begin to manifest all of their spiritual qualities, and they begin to multiply, and they become the stars of the sky. Then it becomes clear that everything is true, that this is a result of this. But I really didn't have to. I can't explain. It's not necessary. The burden is not to explain how God will make it manifest that the Jews are different. But I'm just trying to explain what the idea of Farnese is, and then with regard to the mashal. I don't think it's that difficult. I'm just saying that's a different element. That's what it's conveying.
So what is he leaving?
I'm sorry?
What is he leaving?
You're missing the point. The leaving is that the rewards of the other one, as opposed to the rewards of the Jews. They will get muat. The others will get muat, and you'll get a lot. Which means the contrast will be available. Will be there. There'll be a contrast. The part of it will be there'll be a contrast that nobody else will be experiencing this type of a phenomenon. So the contrast will be such that people will be in awe, and people, because they're in awe, they'll recognize that there's a relationship, that there's a correlation between the bliss and between the prosperity. That's the mullet. You hear me?
Yeah.
What's that? You don't seem too happy.
Oh.
Maybe. You ever just say yeah?
I was thinking about it.
Oh, it's Mordechai. Okay. I thought it was your thing.
You're saying the Hashkacha now is on a nationalistic level?
Well, that's the whole idea, you know. Let me see if I can...
Well, funny thing.
Everything over here is on a national level. But a nation can become wealthy and so on and so forth. You see, like the Arabs, some of the Arabs, Saudi, whatever, does for Shem. But they fall off the earth, they get oil, they become very wealthy, and this and that. I mean, even what was it, Kuwait? that so wealthy that each person was getting like a, you know, like a reverse income tax. Each citizen was getting a substantial amount of money from the government every year. So that's one thing. That's different. Let's assume that God brings that about for us. So of course it's national. By the way, all these brachos, the Ramban makes the point, all these brachos are for the entire nation. They pertain to a situation in which the entire nation, the Ramban says that openly, because the Ramban maintains that this situation has not yet come about. I'm quoting from the Ramban now, I'm passing the days. He says, the bar, he will see you, Yisrael, may all of the brachos are able to bishleim lisham. That the Jews never achieved this completely, this brachos completely, I mean parts of it, but not completely. Lo ha-rabim, v'lo ha-yechidim ahem. Not the rabim, nor individuals. Shlo also has chusim l'kach. They never reached that level of chus. K'mei she'amro, al David. Alright, one second. Yalkein, timtzel l'rabotenu, she'yaskiu v'psukim eru l'asad level. Therefore you'll find, amongst the chacham, that they say it's a reference to l'asad level. He quotes some sources, like also the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Tarim and Tzadikim was a level. That the God is destined to, so to speak, go walking with the Tzadikim and was a level in the future. Kira Niskayim. Avo Yiskayim Mano, Bizmah Shlemos. But that these will be fulfilled in the time of perfection. So it's either he's talking about Yemos HaMashiach or whatever. But it doesn't mean that it can't be done now. And it's Avtacha. It doesn't mean that it can't be done now. Just means that that if you understand the nature of these brachos, the nature of these brachos will be they are dependent upon the klal, and they have to reach a certain level of perfection, of societal perfection, you know, which obviously we have not achieved yet. But if we were to achieve it, there's nothing, you know, there's no reason to say it wouldn't happen. Now again, what I'm saying is like this, that there are times, so this is the bracha. One aspect of the bracha is that God, when you do the mitzvot and keep the Torah, which is what God wants, then he'll make sure that you have all the things that you need. That's one idea, but that doesn't mean that it'll be clear to everybody that you're distinct. However, of course, there are many times like that, that, you know, like there's a great economy, everybody's doing well, and some people are doing even better. You know, there's very wealthy and then there's wealthy. So it's not muchach that you were the recipient of any specific grace. That's one concept. What I'm saying is the phonisi means that, implies that there'll be a contradistinction. There'll be a differentiation between the way you're treated and between the way the other are treated. Because otherwise, why bring in the mashal? See, without the mashal, I really would have a tough time approaching it. You might guess at this idea, but the mashal makes it much more clearly that there's an element of comparison being made now between two types of workers. So that, to me, what I'm saying is that this is the hashkacha. This is the result of the hashkacha will be to make it manifest the difference between you and the others. They'll get mort. In other words, that contrast will be so manifest that it'll be clear that the hashkacha will now express itself in a way that it'll be clear that God has favored you. That's what I'm saying. And that's part of the, you know, that fits in with the idea that, you know, that when something is very special, you know, that I will never use that. I'll drop everything and I'll go with you. So it's clear to everybody that you're special. You're important. All right. If there's any comments, questions, or whatever, fine. If not, let's think about it. What can I tell you?
So Rabbi, in Pasuk Dalet, Be'itam?
I said Be'itam, yeah.
Yeah, so that fits the category of general reward of like the first level, just that they're going to be very...
Now, Be'itam, yeah, Be'itam is one of the benefits which comes to you, to us, in the, before Ufanisi. You see, because what I'm trying to say is Ufanisi is a special manifestation of the Hashkacha. So you can have the bracha throughout the Ufanisi, the way I've explained it. So, the first one, the rains, the general, because you know that to me it doesn't necessarily differentiate you, because other nations, the Mitzrayim has you know, a very lush, you know, agriculture because of the Nile, whatever it is. So you'll have rain. That's basically providing you with what you need. And the B, you want to know the, what I mean you said in Rashi? Rashi's chat? Hello?
Sorry, what was that?
There's something with the communication there. What are you asking me?
Nothing, you answered already.
Oh, okay, fine. I'm sorry. I said you wanted to know what the how I explained Rashi.
No, I understand how you explained
that.
I just want
to... The idea of Rashi, it was a side point, but it made the point that from that Rashi you could see the whole character of the, of what the brachas are all about. Okay, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, take care. Have a good Shabbos.
Hi, Shabbos.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Shabbos.